The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. We are live in studio. It is a Thursday, and we do pray that you and yours are well. We begin each hour with our impact segment, 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. If you were listening earlier in the week, something that we have begun on the program is every afternoon at 3 o'clock, we want to open the program in prayer. I think this is very vital right now and an important opportunity for thousands of us to gather together and obviously focus on the Lord. And so I shared a prayer Tuesday when we began. Yesterday we had, who prayed yesterday? I have to think back. Oh, Pastor Josh Thompson. And today I reached out to one of my dearest friends. Pastor Jack Graham is the senior pastor of Prestonwood Church in the Plano, Dallas area, and I believe Jack is on the phone. Jack, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Frank.
It's good to hear your voice, Jack.
Absolutely. These kind of connections are really meaningful right now, and whether it's cell phone or getting together on online services or however we can connect with people, we need to keep that going, obviously, with all the isolation that's taking place.
And I want to talk a little bit about an article you wrote that kind of goes hand in hand with what you just shared. But would you please open in prayer and bless the many people that are listening right now? This obviously is a time where prayer is of the essence. So would you please open in prayer, Pastor Jack?
Yes, I would be glad to. We come to you, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, who is our ever-present help in times of trouble. We know you are our Redeemer, our Savior, our Master, and Friend. And so thank you for this wonderful relationship that we have with you, that you never leave us or forsake us. And I just pray for all of us who are listening in right now that your very presence, your peace, would fill the space and the place where we live and work. And we pray, oh God, that this time that we have together listening, may it be a time of learning and growing together. We don't want just to go through this. We do want to grow through this. And we want to learn everything you want to teach us. So may we be good listeners and disciples at your feet. And speak to us, Lord. We will listen. Give us fellowship in you. And in your name, we know that we are together wherever we are. So we give this time to you with gratitude and joy in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Jack Graham. We appreciate you greatly. Jack, how are we to navigate through such times? I know we've really, at least in recent history, never really have gone through anything like this. And I obviously want to get into the piece that you wrote a few days ago on depression and the importance for us to reach out to others. How are you dealing with COVID-19 at Prestonwood? And maybe any thoughts you want to share with the listeners as we begin?
Well, our church is a large church in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex in Texas. And so we are actively, aggressively maintaining as best we can the ministry of the church because we have a large staff and large volunteers, a large number of volunteers. We are able to keep doing many of the things and actually add to some of the things that we were doing in terms of personal ministry and contact, albeit by cell phone or other means, email. For example, just one thing that we did at the outset, knowing that many people who were older were not only vulnerable to the virus, but just also the loneliness and the alienation and separation and all that. So our young adults in the church began calling all of the older adults in the church, by older, 70 and older, and there were 1,800 of those on our membership list, 1,800, 70-plus years old. And it was just one of the sweetest times of fellowship for we love to talk about being cross-generational in our church. We have a lot of young people, and we have, well, 1,800 on roll senior adults. So that was true cross-generational ministry, and just the back and forth of those phone conversations was really good. So we're working at it, and, of course, online services, that's been remarkable to see our presence online. And that's been truly amazing. Between PowerPoint Radio, which, of course, is carried there, KKLA, and PowerPoint Television, which is all over the world, and then our online services, the measurements last week was nearly 1 million people we touched. Wow. So that's way more than normal, especially the online portion of that. So we're looking at ways to serve and engaging our people in ministry. I'm having lots of meetings, Zoom meetings, and all the rest. Oh, one other thing that we've been doing, which I'm sure is familiar to many of your viewers, or listeners rather, and that is we have small groups. We have a lot of small groups. Some of them are rather large small groups of 40 or 50 people in a group or a class, our Bible fellowship classes. And they're all meeting in some fashion on the various mechanisms, Facebook or Zoom or otherwise. Every one of our classes, adult classes, were present and accounted for in meeting the last two weekends of this measure. So we're keeping the church together. There's a lot of positives going on in a very negative, potentially, situation.
Pastor Jack Graham is my guest. Jack, a personal question I ask all the pastors, because one of the things I'm adamant about sharing on this program is, as we pray, we need to keep our pastors in prayer as well, because this is a very trying time for the church. How are you faring, and what about the church as a whole? Anything you want to make mention of or share about, obviously, the many challenges of this season that we're in?
Well, yes, and you know, the season we're in, I was just thinking, when it gets right down to it, it's a season of loss, which, you know, is grief. There's a kind of grief that goes on with this, with the loss, whether it is just a loss of being able to get out and move around, a loss of health, a loss of income, a loss of retirement savings, just all the losses start adding up. And even for churches, you know, I'm very concerned, and I think what, you know, I've been saying we should be praying about all along is so many smaller churches. We're a 40-something thousand member church, and we have big responsibilities. And but you know, we have reserves, and we're going to get through this. We're cutting back some things, and the financial decisions that we'll need to make with the loss of potentially of tithes and offerings at this time. People are losing their jobs; they're not going to be able to give at the level of the past, and so on. But I'm just really concerned about so many smaller churches and pastors who don't have resources and may not be able to get through this as well as others. So I would really ask your listeners, certainly if you go to a church, and I hope you do, that you love your pastor well, serve him, email him, encourage him, make sure you're supporting as best you can with generosity your local church, because when it's all said and done, the local church of Jesus Christ, the local body of believers, it's good that we can have online and connect people in this way. When it gets right down to it, it's all about the local church. One of these days, we're going to be back together, and every church, I pray, will be back together stronger, not having to be just digging out of a huge mess, but can go forward stronger together.
Jack, in the article that you wrote 4 or 5 days ago on, it's entitled Coronavirus, My Battle with Depression as an Important Lesson for This Crisis. One of the many things you cited was a Cigna study and the 2018 U.S. Loneliness Index. Tens of thousands of adults, and citing isolation, lack of companionship, relationships were not meaningful. Please share more of that and impart the importance to listeners right now, if they are isolated, to reach out, and for us to reach out to others as well, even people maybe we haven't talked to in forever. A guy I used to play basketball with 30-some years ago, I called yesterday, haven't talked to him in 12 years. He lives in New York, and he couldn't believe I called him. The importance of reaching out and making sure we stay in relation with others.
Well, you just said it, and what you did with that friend from the past, God only knows the impact it could have on that man's life. And I'm doing the same thing. I've got a cell phone with a file on there. I'm trying to stay current with all of the friendships that we have, and yes, go back. I've got high school friends that have reached out to me I hadn't heard from in forever, and vice versa. So. Back to the study and the question you asked, yeah, before this thing even started, as noted in that study, there was just so much social isolation and separation. Even though we have all this technology and the screens and the ways to connect, and you see a lot of people that are constantly their faces on their screens, and yet personal relationships maybe are an all-time low. And so it's causing... with this virus, and it inflames this situation, it's an inflammation of the soul, really, in which people are feeling terribly alone and afraid. And it goes back to that sense of grief that I was talking about. And the way you deal with grief is ultimately to get to acceptance, whether it's the loss of a family member, a friend, and that's, I'm talking now about just regular grief, whether is a death in your family. So the goal is always to get from the anger and the denial and the rest of the stages of grief, but to get to acceptance, which with God, that's peace. I mean, I'm not talking about just psychology here, but when you read your Bible, we don't grieve as those who have no hope. There's meaning in our grief, and there's meaning in loss. And what I experienced when it talked about my battle with depression, mine was very temporary, thank God, because it was a rough experience. I was coming out of a cancer surgery. I had prostate cancer in 2009. And let me just, I always say this when I tell this story. All you guys out there, if you have a family history, make sure you're getting your PSA checked. And if you're over 40, you need to be doing it anyway. And because of a regular PSA check and an annual physical, they found prostate cancer, and I was able to deal with that, and it's a very curable cancer if you catch it early. So all you guys out there, pay attention and make sure you're getting good checkups, including your PSA. But anyway, I had a cancer, and I went into it figuring I would be just fine and really had no physical issues, but it did a number on my head. It was created some anxiety and depression in the aftermath, and I'd never had major surgery before, and I'm not sure exactly to this day what happened, but it was like a PTSD experience, I think. And so I battled through about a year of just these emotions that I'd never felt before. So I believe God allowed me to experience that so that I could help others. I help a lot of guys going through the same kind of surgery, because I'm telling them, look, just be prepared. You're gonna face some depression and anxiety and this and all the rest. And so that gave me, and it gives me now a bit of a platform to say, because again, mine was just temporary. It was just a year. That sounds like a long time. It felt forever when I was in it. But there are many people who battle chronic kinds of depressions and emotional struggles and illness in their lives. And it's one reason our church, we have begun a life recovery ministry. We are in earnest. We always did some things and tried to help people, of course, but we are really working very diligently on helping people recover, whether it's addiction or anxiety or loneliness. In fact, I did a major message series that's going to be coming up on PowerPoint. You can start picking that up at jackgraham.org for your listeners, jackgraham.org. All our resources are there. And, oh, by the way, this is a great time for people who maybe you have a little more time right now. Many, of course, are struggling to, they're working like crazy, medical and others. But if you have a little more time right now, make sure you're using that time wisely and just not hanging out watching Netflix. But there's so much great Christian content out there and resources. Our program, PowerPoint, again, at jackgraham.org. There's a lot of resources there, many wonderful ministries, our friend Greg Laurie and others. There's just so much opportunity. You need to fill your mind right now with God's Word and rely on God and His Word to strengthen you in times like these. Mm.
Dr. Jack Graham is my guest. By the way, are you a doctor of baseball?
A doctor of baseball?
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably am. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I am.
As I texted you the other day, I love the video you did at the ballpark talking about, you know, soon the Rangers will be on the field, and yet, as you say, this is a season of loss.
You know, again, this loss, a lot of people feeling, I was telling some of my buddies, I said, look, I mean, I don't know how this is long is going to last, but, you know, for a lot of guys, the loss of sports and baseball for me and maybe other things, so basketball season ended, golf, all these things, I mean, this is getting serious. And, of course, there are much more serious issues that we deal with, but right. We don't minimize the way this has changed the way we regularly, normally live our lives.
For
and
sure.
It's going to be that way for a while. So
sure.
I'm almost to the place of accepting that we don't have baseball right now. You can still go out in the yard and throw the ball around with your kid.
Yes, you can. Pastor Jack Graham is my guest. Couple more questions. Jack, I'm going to share a very brief story I've never told you. Early on in my walk as a Christian, I started listening to Christian radio. And honestly, I wasn't sure what happened to me because I got radically saved and I started going to a church. Francis Chan was my first pastor. But I started listening to the station. I started listening to KKLA. And I heard you do a sermon, and doggone, I don't remember exactly the gist of what you shared, but it knocked me back so hard, and I found out later after the fact, it was when you got back in the pulpit, maybe a little too soon after cancer surgery. Does that resonate or ring a bell with you at all?
Yes, it does. I mean, it's really an incredible thing what happened. So when I had the cancer surgery in May, and I tried to go on like nothing happened, but I ended up having to take some time off. I had a sabbatical coming from the church, so took a couple of months off that summer just to recoup and renew. But when I got back, I was still not myself. I mean, back in end of August, September, so I was still weak, exhausted, feeling just not myself. And so I thought, how am I going to prepare sermons, much less preach them in this condition? And so I just began preaching. I did a series on the promises of God.
That's right.
Just taking the promises that mean so much to me. And, you know, I leaned so strong into God and His Word during those days. And so whether it was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, do not lean into your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Great promises like that one. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, help you, uphold you with my strong right hand. So I did 8 or 10 of those. And many of those times I was just barely crawling up there, I mean, just physically, emotionally, and otherwise. But I preached on those promises of God, and I really frankly didn't feel like I preached all that well. But when we ended up putting those on the radio later, and television, they became the most responded to series to that point that we had ever done.
Wow.
And I do believe it's a principle that Paul talked about. When we do have thorns and pain and struggles, when we're weak, He's strong. And I think God uses, I think something echoed with people who needed to know God's promises and maybe were finding themselves weak and struggling. But the bottom line, it wasn't me, it was God's promises. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying today as well. You know, that's been 11 years ago. So people need the promises of God, the Word of God in their lives right now.
Yeah, amen.
And the Bible's not only great theology, but it's also great psychology, God's way. Mm. And God's promises will strengthen you when nothing else will.
Jack, one more question, and then we'll close with any other thoughts or anything you want to share. Speaking of God's promises, 10 days from now is Easter, and here we are in the middle of this worldwide pandemic. Share about Easter, and obviously this is the cornerstone of our faith.
It is. We have no faith without what we celebrate on Easter. And in a world with so much bad news, how about some good news? And the good news, which is the gospel, is that Christ died and rose again. And this is our message. And, you know, Frank, I've never been ashamed to be a gospel preacher. And by that, I mean, I want to teach God's word, and I want to help people understand more fully what the Bible says, and my preaching and teaching has a lot of teaching in it. But ultimately, I'm a gospel preacher. I want people to know Jesus and his power to save and the hope. And now more than ever, the relevance of the resurrection. I've got a message. I was looking at my file getting ready for Easter. I've got a message I preach called The Relevance of the Resurrection. And just how relevant right now the message of Jesus and his death, his resurrection, and people are terrorized by this thing. The fear is off the charts, and anxiety in an unbelieving world for sure. And therefore, we have to lift up the victorious cross and preach the risen Redeemer. And among believers, there are believers who are struggling, of course, and because we're not immune to these things. And therefore, the hope. And hope, is not just blind optimism. It's not just optimism. I like optimism. I like optimism better than negativism. But it's more than optimism, and it's more than wishful thinking. Hope is the confident expectation that our future is with the Lord, in God's hands. And so if you live with that kind of hope, Paul said, I know whom I believe and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him against that day. That day when Christ comes and any other day, the hope that we have in Christ sustains us and strengthens us. And so I can't wait to bring this message of hope at Easter. And it's going to be different. Our buildings are going to be empty, but the message, like the tomb, will be open to the world and unchained and unleashed for all to hear. Mm.
Pastor Jack Graham is a senior pastor of Prestonwood Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth Plano area. Prestonwood.org is their website, and also jackgraham.org is a very important and resourceful website. Jack, any final thoughts, anything you want to share in closing?
Just lean into the Lord right now. Another verse that is a great promise is Isaiah 26:3, which is, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on you. And with all the distractions and diversions that we have right now, and the confusion, and all the midst of the chaos, keep your mind on God. As Jeremiah, or rather Jehoshaphat, the Old Testament king, he said, Lord, we don't know what to do. They were facing an enemy. He said, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. So keeping our eyes on the Lord, our knees on the floor, our nose in the book, God's word will sustain us and strengthen us. And it goes on to say, because we trust in you. So let your faith grow. Let's learn everything God wants to teach us in this time in our lives. And there's a lot to learn. And I'm learning a lot of new things about even how to do church in these days. I believe coming out of this, churches are going to do ministry in a new way and a better way. We're still going to have buildings and people gathering, because that's what the Bible says. We are to gather. And as soon as we can, we'll be gathering again together. But beyond that, I do believe there's going to be new ways to reach people with the gospel and through online and other means that we have. So there's going to be great good come out of this. We should rise to the challenge. Let God's people, let God's church rise to the challenge of this day, because we know we win.
In the end of your commentary that you shared on depression and the coronavirus, you wrote, as we wash our hands, to protect ourselves and others from COVID-19, let's always remember that Jesus called us to wash our neighbor's feet, whether in person or not.
Jack? Yes. Yep. And he said when he was washing his disciples' feet there in the upper room, and it was dark and there was a lot of uncertainty, and the disciples didn't know what was happening next. He washed their feet. He said, as I've washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. He did this in the whole context of saying, love one another as I have loved you. That's a different kind of love. There's human love, but there is the love of God, as I have loved you. And the way we love is to serve one another like Jesus serves each one of us. So there's a lot of ways we can do that. I just suggested to our people on a little mini video message I did, you know, as you're washing your hands these days, think about Jesus washing feet.
Yeah.
And then figure out a way that you can serve somebody. You got to serve somebody.
Yeah. Wonderful to hear your voice, Jack. I love you. And one of my greatest thrills will be hopefully in the not too distant future, texting you maybe in the ninth inning of a Tribe Ranger game where we're up 3-2 on you.
Well, we've got a brand new stadium.
You do.
That was due to open, yeah. And it's going to open here eventually. But nobody will be more excited to get back to baseball. But thank God, I don't have baseball games, but I got my Bible.
Yeah, amen, amen. Thanks for spending time. Love you, brother.
All right, love you, Frank.
All right, bye-bye. Pastor Jack Graham, Prestonwood Church in the Dallas Plano area. Again, prestonwood.org, and please visit jackgraham.org. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. We are here in studio. We pray you and yours are well, and my thanks again to Pastor Jack. Here on KKLA, we're in Los Angeles today. He obviously is on every afternoon with PowerPoint at 1 o'clock, and he is quite a treasure to the kingdom of God, and I'm just... I if you listen to the interview closely, you could probably tell it's like I didn't want to get off the phone with him. I would spend hours with Jack if I could. He is... one of very few that I know that knows the Bible to the extent he does, and yet he's one of the funniest men I know and knows everything about baseball. I love that I kind of stumped him for a second when I said, are you a doctor of baseball? But God bless Jack Graham and Preston Wood. God bless your pastor in your church and you and yours as well. Something I thought we could try in terms of taking phone calls, I've shared a lot in the last number of days. If you want to call and just check in with us, you're welcome to do that. Let us know how you are, how you're faring through all of this, how you're dealing. And truth be told, I've gotten more emails than calls. And I think part of that may be many of you are at home. Some of the emails I've gotten, you're now listening on whether your app for the radio station or on your home speakers, Google, Amazon, etc. And I'm just humbled to be a part of your life, and we're all here to honor our King. And if I can do that in any way, shape, or form, that's my intention, my prayer before the show. Lord, use me for your glory, not my words, your words. And so to change it up a little bit in terms of inviting you to call the program, I thought we would just maybe ask you a very simple question. Now, I'm fully cognizant we may get no calls, and we may get calls for now until the cows come home. But here's the question. What are you most, if I could say it, it'd be even better. What are you most looking forward to when this gets behind us? What are you most looking forward to? That's the simple question, and maybe we can dream a little bit and have a little levity and some fun right now. 888-528-2557. That's it. What are you most looking forward to when this is done? I will share two that come to my mind, and then we'll break and come back with some of your calls. The board is wide open to you. Part of what triggered this question or thought in my mind was yesterday when I had Pastor Josh Thompson on. He's kind of he's one of those young dudes, right, that can't sit still. He had an Instagram video. He literally was sandblasting his house and repainting it, and I'm thinking, dude, he surfs, very athletic, and over the last couple of years, we just kind of in passing. I've never surfed. I've never been on a board, and it's always been, hey, we should try to go surfing sometime. Now, truth be told, Jaws ruined me. That movie really ruined me. So much so that even going out in the ocean is still a little iffy for me. Save maybe like when you're in Hawaii. That's like being in a big, nice, beautiful blue bathtub, right? But one of the things I'm most looking forward to is I've committed to Pastor Josh to go surfing with him. And maybe somehow we'll videotape it because it will be a good laugh for you. I'm sure I'm just going to make the biggest fool of myself, but that's one of the things I'm most looking forward to, is getting on a surfboard, Lord willing, this summer with Pastor Josh Thompson. What about you? What are you most looking forward to? We have a couple of lines open, 888-528-2557. Steve in Pico Rivera. Steve, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Baseball!
Say what you really mean.
That's it. Nothing more than that.
Yeah, so all baseball, are you a fan of the Dodgers, the Angels, any particular team?
I like all 30 teams the same.
Wow, listen to this.
I played years ago professionally, and I played against Frank Pastore. I got a double offer him in double A, but that's what I'm looking forward to. Baseball.
Are you watching any of the games they have on now? I saw last night it was the 2001 Yankees and whoever they played. It was like talk about a flashback in time. Are you watching any of the old baseball on TV?
Yeah. Those are good. Those are good. It gets you excited. You know, you see the good plays being made. You see the, you know, what I call the American pastime is still alive.
Steve, it's good to hear from you. Thank you for sharing. So Steve is most looking forward to baseball, just simply baseball. Thor in San Diego. Thor, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
I'm looking forward to the crowds of people so I can go out in the crowds and share the good news. I have a ministry called Spending Days with Superhero. I take special needs people out of the hospital. But the main thing is I dress up a store, and the world will ask me, why am I dressed up? And I get to share my faith over and over and over again. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, that's obviously a wonderful sentiment, Thor. Thank you. I wonder how long it's going to take us to get back into going out in crowds and feeling a sense of being comfortable. Maybe we'll never be the same. It's interesting. I was thinking back a few weeks before this began. One of my best friends is a coach at Cal State Northridge, the basketball team. In fact, the head coach, Mark Gottfried, I consider a friend. Jim Herrick, assistant. Jeff Dunlap is a guy that I've known for, it's just crazy to think I've known him for 41 years. I coached him in high school. He's like the younger brother I never had. And so I went to a CSUN game. I took Dante to a CSUN game, which ended up being the last game of their season. And it was just nice being in a crowd and watching a great game, and yet I can relate to that. Sports and crowds. So both callers hit some areas I'm thinking about. How about you? What are you most looking forward to when this is behind us? We're going to break and take one more round of calls. 888-528-2557. I know you've thought about it. I know you've spent time just kind of daydreaming about it, whatever that it is. And I'll come back and share a thought I had that's kind of outside of what I'm most looking forward to, but I suspect a lot of people are. I had an observation the other day. I mean, it's really an interesting time. Like Pastor Jack said, the way in which we normally live our lives, man, everything is kind of changing right now. So if we get back to getting out and kind of taking a breath and not living in this perpetual state of being in the unknown, even though that is actually life, what are you most looking forward to? We have one line open, 888-528-2557, and we'll continue with your calls and more of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. Yesterday, I was talking to a dear friend on the radio, actually, Pastor Josh Thompson, and we kind of joked that I've always threatened to go surfing with him. And I was thinking last night, really looking forward to that. I'm going to commit to that. And then it hit me. Great question. Just to have a little fun on the radio, on the program, what are you most looking forward to? Once all of this is behind us, we have virtually a full board. We have one line open, 888-528-2557. We just lost Melanie. I was about to take her and Marina Del Rey. So we'll talk to Tamara in Los Angeles. You're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Doing pretty good, thank you. So this is a fun topic, and, you know, I think what I'm looking forward to the most is actually assembling in church. I really missed that. My last church service was March 8th, and then after that, you know, everything shut down. So I really missed that. And I'm looking forward to going on an actual date. I just got back into the dating game again, so uh-oh, now that was just shut down abruptly. And I'm looking forward to actual theater popcorn. So those are my things that I'm looking forward to.
Oh, my gosh. All very wonderful. Tamara, it's always good to hear from you. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, how many of us are really looking forward to getting back in church? For sure. How say you? What are you most looking forward to? Let's talk to my brother, Aussie Andy, in Los Angeles. Andy, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Long time no see.
Yeah, how you going, Frank?
I'm good. How are you?
Great, mate. You know, like, you know, apart from everything that's going on and, you know, putting prayers out for those that have, you know, lost loved ones or people who are sick. But what I've got out of this, Frank, is me, you know, like, it sounds selfish at first, but to take time out for me, because I'm not working at the moment. I'm an actor, so things have stopped. But taking time out for me has given me tons of time for my Bible study every morning, connecting up with my family and friends and Christian friends. So what I'm looking forward to is that never stopping. Right from now, it's just the connection with everybody is so amazing. People I haven't spoken to for years, and it's just because I'm a dog chasing my tail all the time, and I'm sure a lot of people understand that, you know.
Yeah, for sure. It was good to see you a couple months ago.
Yes, mate. Yeah. I always love listening to your show and everybody that's on there. It's great. It really is.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for weighing in. How about you? What are you most looking forward to? Let us talk to Cecilia in Whittier. Cecilia, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. You know, Simon and Garfunkel wrote a song about you years ago.
Yeah, I know. I remember. How are you, Frank?
I'm okay. How about you?
I'm well. I'm doing well. You know, you asked the question, what was the first thing we'd like to do when all this is over? I have five sisters, and I haven't seen them in a while. And we just had some really sad news in our family. So I'd like to get together with my sisters and hug them and talk about Jesus and what we've learned through, what's been going on, how he's changed our lives.
Are they local? Are they spread out across the country? Where are your sisters?
Let's see. One is in Henderson. Two are in Bakersfield. One is in Santa Clarita. And the other one just got back from Texas.
Wow. Well, let us pray that that time is soon by which we can all be reunited. And thank you, Cecilia. As I was talking to Cecilia and she shared it, it did dawn on me, for some of us, the idea of maybe what we're most looking forward to is hard to even think about. And what I mean by that is maybe it's too emotional. Maybe it is being with family again physically. And so we can't go there right now. I think of all of the things we take for granted. You know, I'll speak for me, all the things I've taken for granted. What am I most looking forward to? Goodness, I could sit and talk to myself for our next Impact segment. Just list after list of all the things I'm looking forward to again. But I'm more interested in hearing from you. Lord willing, this will be behind us soon. Soon enough. And when we wake up that day and we can rejoice and say, praise God, as we can still do now, we're called to do that now, obviously. But what are you most looking forward to? 888-528-2557. Linda in Los Angeles, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Yes, Frank. How are you doing?
Good.
Good, good. I'm sure, many people are looking forward to going back to church. So am I. But I just called one of my favorite restaurants, and they sadly told me that they may not open again. And just like people live from paycheck to paycheck, I guess some of these restaurants just get by month by month. And so I reminded them of the stimulus package and how there's money going to be allotted for businesses. And it was like, oh, really? Like, he didn't know. And so I'm looking forward to having brunch again there, having my enchiladas and mole and a mimosa, and just enjoying a beautiful day. We've had such beautiful days
these past days,
and I just give praise to the Lord.
Yeah, amen. Linda, thank you. Yeah, getting out and actually having a meal in a restaurant. You know, many people have had birthdays come and go during this time. My wife's was last Friday. And I don't want to say too much on the air. She loves Mexican food. And we usually go out to dinner at like a nice Mexican restaurant. And yeah, just getting out and having a good meal, celebrating. How about you? Now, our listeners in San Diego on AM 1210 K-Praise, they have had 2 hours of me, and so they're going away in a moment. Those of you listening here in Los Angeles on 99.5 KKLA will continue with hour number two. And I'm kind of leaning toward maybe seeing in our Impact segment, integrating some other ideas as well, but continuing to ask this question. We have new listeners all the time, and for me, it's a moment of respite by which we can just kind of stop down for a moment, just kind of dream. Jack Graham and I were talking about baseball. I can't wait to see baseball, and just spring training is always a powerful time, and no spring training. A lot of other things. So for those of you that stay with us, if you want to call, we've got a wide open board. We've cleared everything. What are you most looking forward to? And hopefully, Lord willing, this will be more sooner than later when this is behind us. 888-528-2557. You can always email me as well. I've gotten a handful of emails. FrankSontag@KKLA.com or FrankSontag@KPRZ.com. And for those of you listening on our sister station, AM 1210 K-Praise or 106.1 FM in San Diego, we love you, K-Praise family. Lord willing, we will be back with more tomorrow. And for those here in L.A. on KKLA, hour number two is next here on the Frank Sontag Show.